For this video, I wanted to actually, this is a podcast, right? But I wanted to make this a video since I will be using GPT, sorry, and I'll be doing a screen recording. So if you're listening to this, I will put the link for the video, the YouTube video, in the description. But you can also just follow along as a listening because I'll just be narrating or explaining or reading everything out loud as I'm doing it, okay? So it's not necessary to see the video portion of this if you're just listening, but it will definitely, obviously, it'll help a lot. So the focus here, by the way, my name's Chris Kowalczyk. This is my podcast. It's intended mainly for current and former students, people that actually know me, but of course anyone's welcome to listen. Now, I am a ESL teacher. I've been teaching English to non-native speakers since 2007, so as of this recording, that's about 18 years now, getting on to 18 years. I've lived in Japan for about 6 years, and I also spent every summer there when I was a kid because my mom's from Japan. So I understand what it's like to be in another country where you're not using your first language. Japanese, I did speak a little bit when I was a kid, but I wouldn't say that it was really my native language. And then I did study it a lot. And so I bring a lot of that experience into my teaching, and I just like to talk about it as well. This podcast is basically for me to just talk about things I usually talk about in class, but this way I can just talk as much as I want. Well, I'll try to keep it at 30 minutes or less. But yeah, I'm just going to be talking about my opinions on using AI, and specifically ChatGPT for language learning or for language learners. Let's start with the first topic is, oh, and I should mention that I'm going to be traveling, or I'll be taking a trip to Japan in about 3 months. By the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm based in the LA and Orange County area, so Southern California. Some of this, I think most of the things I'm saying are applicable to any context, to be honest. But I will be going to Japan in about 3 months, 3 months from now. I will say that I moved back to the US about 10 years ago. And I did not really speak any Japanese after I came back. I stopped watching Japanese TV. I didn't really listen to Japanese music or anything. I basically had zero interaction with Japanese after moving back to the US 10 years ago. Of course, my Japanese has suffered. My proficiency has gone down a lot. I did go back about 6 years ago for a short visit because of some family things that I had to take care of. My Japanese was pretty bad at that time. And then now that I have more, that was a last minute trip actually. I only had 2 days to prepare for that trip. But this time I have a few months to prepare. So I've been doing a little bit of Japanese practice and review here and there. And actually, when I was communicating with my relatives in Japan, because I have to coordinate a little bit, I will be spending some time with them. I decided that, hey, why not try ChatGPT, right? A lot of my students are using GPT for their to say things in English, to write things, to look up things, to check grammar and so on. So why don't I play with a little bit too from the perspective of someone who's going to be going to a foreign country. Yeah, I wish I had used this in Europe actually. I went to Europe about a year and a half ago and I don't know why I didn't use it. Honestly, I've only been using ChatGPT for about 3 months and I've only been using AI as it in general. I was using it for teaching inside of Chrome, Google Chrome. For Google Doc to prepare lessons and create materials. I was only using that starting about 5 months, 5 or 6 months ago. So I'm actually pretty new to this AI stuff. But I just keep practicing or keep doing different things, making mistakes. And it's actually fun to play with. That's what I usually tell my students and coworkers is just have fun with it. But people are still learning how to use it. So anyway, let's get to it. The first thing I want to say is, okay, how can you use it, right? How can you use ChatGPT? One thing I was doing with my relatives in Japan is I was saying, okay, what do I say in this situation or how do I express some things? Let's do it this way. I'm going to go English to Japanese first. I want to coordinate a trip. I'm sorry. I want to coordinate my trip to my visit to my mother's hometown in Japan. I want to ask my relatives in Japanese when they would be available to meet. Okay, so let's see what it says. Okay, ooh, it's giving me several versions. I like that. So it's giving me formal version. If you're speaking with older relatives or someone you want to show respect to, use this. So it's giving me, so that is very formal. So I'm not going to use that with my relatives. It's giving me a casual version. I like that it's giving different contexts, right? Different registers. For relatives you're close to, or if the situation feels more relaxed, いつ会えそう?予定がある日があれば教えてね。So that is, yeah, that's, but I feel that's a little too casual, to be honest, for my relatives. And my relatives are actually, I should say, my cousins are actually about 20 years older than me. They're about my, they would be like an uncle or an auntie, more towards that age. Yeah, so my cousin's kids are actually close to my age. It's because my mother's brother, my mother's older brother, was 20 years older than her, and he had children very young. So her nieces and nephews, my mother's nieces and nephews, are actually like her siblings around that same age. And that's the kind of relationship they have. So anyway, I feel like I don't want to go too formal. I don't want to go too casual. Here's another option. It says, if you're uncertain about the tone or want to be neutral, お時間のある日を教えてください。ぜひお会いしたいです。I like that one. So I do like that they're explaining it. So I feel that's a good balance. Not, again, it says it's neutral. So that's great. One thing I always emphasize with my students is Google Translate is great in a pinch. Using ChatGPT, using your dictionary, all that stuff is great. But what you have to know is that you cannot use the same word on every situation, right? You do have to be careful, right? You have to understand context. You have to understand register. What is the relationship between two people? Is that specific word actually appropriate for that situation, right? It could be the correct word in a sense, but it might not be the right place to use that word. This is where I get a little frustrated with students sometimes. I know that sometimes students feel that the internet or the dictionary is the authority. And a lot of times what the dictionary is saying is correct, again, but it lacks the context. And I think that's one of the difficult things about learning a language is it's not math. It's not a science. There's some words you use and some phrases you use in specific contexts. You always have to think about so many different things. Now, a lot of times as native speakers, we don't have to think about those things consciously, but that's what language learners, second language learners need to do. Not just to learn vocabulary and grammar, but when these things are appropriate. And that's something I try to emphasize a lot. And so that's one thing that you can do with ChatGPT, which is great. You're asking it these questions. Okay, let's get back to what it says here. All right, so let's see here. Alternative option if you're uncertain about the tone. Okay, I already did that. You can add some details about your trip to make it more personal. 何月何日から何日まで日本にいます。Oh, okay, so that's giving more information. That's not important. All right, I want to sound playful. I'm asking ChatGPT. I want to sound playful, but not rude or too casual. Make it light, but also respectful. Okay, let's see what comes out. Okay, so let's see here. いつが、ご都合いい、ご都合いいですか?楽しみにしています。Ooh, I like that one. This and then this is what ChatGPT says. While I'm in Japan, I'd love to meet you. When would be convenient for you? I'm looking forward to it. ChatGPT's explanation is this tone shows excitement and warmth while still being polite. It's a nice balance that's neither overly formal nor too casual. You're inviting them to respond while making it clear you value their time and are looking forward to seeing them. Not only am I getting direct help in, okay, how do I talk to people? I'm also learning things, right? One thing I always tell students as well is, okay, you use Google Translate, you're using your smartphone as your dictionary, your translator. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. What I don't like is when students just show me their phone and I'm supposed to read what it says. That is not what we're there for, right? We're supposed to be practicing our English. I always encourage students, not even encourage, okay. I encourage students, first of all, I make them read what is on their phone when they use the Google Translate or when they use ChatGPT. I do not allow them to just show me it. They have to read it out loud. But also, I make them do that, no choice. But I also encourage students to write down what's on their phone, basically taking notes into their notebook. Those are a couple of tips I really want you to keep in mind. Another thing here is when you're using ChatGPT, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people feel like what comes out of the internet is correct, right? And a lot of times things are correct, but again, maybe not in that context, maybe not in that situation. So you need to have background information. You need to have prior knowledge of the topic. Yes, you are getting new information, but you're also filtering it through the lens of what you already know. What I mean is, having a fundamental understanding of Japanese, whether that's a tone, politeness, certain vocabulary, context, and relationships, you need to have a basic understanding in order to determine whether what ChatGPT is saying is correct. Because I don't have it here now, but I was using it a couple weeks ago, and some of the stuff was a little weird that ChatGPT was producing. So I had to ask it maybe 6 or 7 additional questions to really get it right. And this is something I talk about with my coworkers as well, or I guess my colleagues or ESL teachers in general, is that a lot of times when I'm preparing lessons using ChatGPT, things come out that look a little bit wrong. I need to have that prior knowledge or background knowledge in order to, again, determine whether something is actually correct or appropriate. It's not just giving you the answers. I don't want to say it's not giving you everything that you want. You still have to be the judge at the end of the day. And of course, you can ask ChatGPT questions to explain things, and that's okay too. What I don't like, again, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but I just want people to keep these things in mind, language learners to keep this in mind, is that a lot of times people will use ChatGPT or the Google Translate and they won't question what comes out. They'll just go with the first result. And a lot of times, in my experience, in just about 3 months, is I have to ask multiple questions and I have to edit things to get something that looks good. I want to say, again, a lot of times you cannot go with the first result that comes out of ChatGPT, okay? But anyway, maybe I'll show an example later. Let's go with something in English. Okay, let's get to English. I'm an English learner, and I don't know what to say when people make small talk. If someone asks me about my day, what should I say? What's appropriate and not appropriate? The context is I'm at the register paying for stuff. Okay, so this is something that a few students have asked me. Okay, so when someone asks your day in a casual setting like at the register, it's best to keep your response short, light, and positive. This kind of small talk is not meant to be deep. It's more of a friendly gesture. Here are some tips and examples. So I'll read a few of these. Appropriate, responsive. It's going well, thanks. How about you? It's been nice so far. How's your day going? Okay. Something general. Not bad. Just running some errands. It's been a busy day, but good overall. Pretty relaxing. Okay. What's not appropriate? Oh, it's been terrible. My boss yelled at me and I'm so stressed. Avoid being too personal. I just broke up with my partner. Yeah, I think that should be pretty obvious. Now, you can also follow up. You can end with a simple question to keep the conversation friendly. You can say, how's your day going so far? And then it gives me a sample, an example interaction. Cashier says, hi there, how's your day going? And then you can say, it's been pretty good, thanks. How about yours? Okay, now, some students, and this is something I practiced before in the classroom, is how to end the small talk conversation. Okay, these types of situations are usually very short, 1 or 2 minutes. How can I end the situation, the conversation, I'm sorry, how can I end the conversation smoothly? Okay, so we don't want to be awkward, right? Okay, so here's ChatGPT's suggestions. General ways to end the conversation. Thanks so much. Have a good one. Thanks, I appreciate it. Have a great day. Easy stuff. I hope the rest of your day goes well. Okay. Take care. Bye. Thanks again. See you. All right. Thanks. Yeah, so very simple things, right? But you'd be surprised. A lot of language learners have trouble with not only beginning and maintaining a conversation, but also ending a conversation. So that's something I've practiced a few times with my students as well. And something that you want to practice too. Let's see here. Now, here's something students ask me as well. How do I not engage in small talk? Okay, so if I don't want to make small talk, what can I do if let's say a cashier starts a conversation? Okay, that's an interesting one. So the recommendations from ChatGPT, good, thanks, not bad, all right, thanks. Yeah, so just something short is okay. Let's see, skip the follow-up question. Yeah, you don't need a follow-up question. That's okay too. Keep your focus on the payment process. Yeah, so I think it's good to say something in response, but you can do it in a way to show that you're not really interested in having a long conversation, but also to just also make sure to respond. So these are just suggestions. You don't have to do anything. If the cashier keeps talking, you can stay polite, but continue to keep your responses short, such as, oh, I see, and that's nice, got it, thanks. And hopefully the cashier will not really continue the conversation or whatever situation that you're in. It's okay to stay silent, but it's something we often don't do here in the US. Okay, now, and then you can go on. What if I'm at a baseball game for my high school age children's game? I don't know. A parent who I don't know wants to strike up a conversation, but I want to focus on watching my child play. How can I stay friendly and polite, but also stay focused on the game? Okay, that's an interesting one. Okay, so let's see. So again, a lot of these, I'm not sure if I want to use them. These games, let's catch up later. Okay, so I don't like what ChatGPT is giving me. I feel that these responses are still a little dismissive. Dismissive. Are there more subtle ways to show that I'm focused on the game? Okay, so one example is, oh, it's so exciting to watch, isn't it? I'm hoping my kid gets a good hit this inning. Yeah, these games are always fun. I can't believe how well they're all playing today. Again, some kind of short acknowledgement. I think not asking more questions is good. Keeping your answers short is good. And I think if you keep maintaining focus on the game, hopefully they'll understand it. I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say is you can keep asking about different scenarios. How do I speak in these scenarios? What are some phrases that I can use? Things like that. So anyway, I do want to move on though. Let's see, let me take a look at my notes. So I already mentioned that you should take notes while you're doing this. One thing you can do as well is you can... So if you're just listening, I'm actually highlighting these things. So what I'm doing is I'm highlighting certain parts of the chat, and then I'm copying them, and then I can go ahead and put them on a new document. And that's one thing I can do. I can print these out as well so that I can review them later. So if you're watching the video, you can see that I simply just copied the ChatGPT text and I just put it in a Google Doc, and now I can save it, I can print it out, I can do whatever I want with it, right? I can also write down key information on a notebook. I don't have to copy everything, but I can write down certain phrases in a notebook. Again, what I don't like, this could just be my bias because I learned English, Japanese in a certain way, but what I don't like is for people just to save it and then just show it to somebody. I feel like you're not really learning in that way. So again, I recommend copying the text, putting it on a document, maybe printing it out so that you can review it later when you have some free time, or actually writing down notes on. You can copy everything, and that might help you too. By actually writing what you're seeing, that might actually help you learn as well. So I went over that. I said make sure the language is appropriate for the context. So don't just accept the first answer that appears. Always ask about context and situation. Let's see, speech and listening. Some of my students have used ChatGPT as almost like a conversation partner. So let's try that out, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click here for voice mode. Hi there. Oh, I got to click the microphone. Hello? I need some help. So,
of course. What do you need help with?
Yeah, so I'm not a native English speaker, and I'm also an immigrant to the United States. I've only been in the U.S. 2 years. And so when I'm talking to, and my children go to elementary school. So when I go to the open house, there's a lot of other parents there. And sometimes they talk to me and I feel like they're speaking too quickly and I don't understand a lot of things they're saying. But I also feel a little embarrassed. So usually I avoid the conversations, but I really want to try and make connections with other parents. So what are some phrases, I guess, what are some phrases I can use with those parents to show that I want to continue the conversation, but I want to ask them to simplify their what they're saying, but I don't know. Can you help me with that? Okay, I need your help. Hello? Hey, I don't know what's going on. Hello? Hello? Okay, I'm just going to start a new one. Hello? Hey.
Hey there, what's on your mind today?
Okay. I'm an English learner. English is not my native language, and I've been in the U.S. for only 1 year. You got that so far?
Yes, I got that. It's great that you're working on your English skills. What kind of help are you looking for?
My children go to an elementary school, and there's an open house coming soon, and there's going to be a lot of other parents there. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand. Open house events can be a great way to meet other parents and teachers. Are you feeling nervous about it, or is there something specific you'd like to prepare for?
I would like to make, you know, connections with the other parents, because especially I want to meet more people in the United States. I'm here in the United States. And my children also, you know, I want my children to have other friends, but I also want to meet the parents. I want to build my social network here in the United States.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No problem. It's a great idea to connect with other parents. You could start by introducing yourself and mentioning something about your children. It's a natural conversation starter. You can also ask about their kids, like what grade they're in or what activities they enjoy. People usually appreciate friendly questions. Does that sound helpful?
Here's the problem, though. I have a lot of trouble with spoken English. And when people are speaking, they're using idioms, they're using phrasal verbs. They're speaking at a natural speed. I know it's not really fast, but even a natural speed of spoken English, it feels like it's too fast for me. So how can go ahead.
One approach is to let people know you're learning English. Mm-hmm. Most will slow down and simplify their language to help you understand. You can also ask them to repeat or explain if something isn't clear. Would that make you feel more comfortable?
Yeah, but I need specific phrases. Can you teach me any phrases that will help me? If I say, oh, I'm learning English right now. Please speak slowly. I feel like that's a little childish. Do you have any more advanced phrases that I can use?
Absolutely. You can say something like, I'm still working on my English skills, so could you speak a bit more slowly? Or you could say, I'm still getting used to conversing in English. Would you mind speaking a bit slower? These sound more advanced and polite. Does that help?
Those are good, but they feel a little formal, or it feels a little bit like classroom English. How can I express the same thing, or how can I achieve the same goal, but in a more playful way, a lighthearted way? And I think that matches my personality as well. I don't want to sound stiff. Do you understand?
Got it. You could try something like, hey, I'm still getting the hang of English. Mind slowing down a bit for me? Or, my English isn't perfect yet, so if you could slow down a bit, that'd be awesome. These are more casual and friendly. Does that feel more like your style?
That's good. I also want to show that I am very interested in making these connections. I don't want the other person to feel bad. I want to show that it's me that needs the help.
Absolutely. You can say, I'm really excited to connect and chat, but my English is still a work in progress. Could you slow down a bit for me? This shows your eagerness to connect while acknowledging your own learning process. Does that sound good?
Yeah, what did you say? My English is a work in progress. Can you explain that?
Sure. Saying my English is a work in progress means you're still improving and learning. It's a friendly way to express that you're not perfect yet, but you're actively working on it. It's positive and shows you're making progress.
Okay, I really like that one. Can you give me 5 more phrases or idioms that have a similar meaning?
Of course. Here are some similar phrases you can use. 1. I'm still polishing my English skills. 2. I'm in the process of improving my English. 3. I'm working on getting better at English every day. 4. I'm still fine-tuning my English. I'm in the middle of learning English and improving every day. These are all casual, yet express the idea that you're actively improving your skills.
Okay, thank you. Can we do a little role play?
Sure, I'd love to. What kind of scenario would you like to practice?
It's open house, and you're a parent of one of the students, and I'm a parent of course, my own child. And I want to start a conversation with you.
Sounds good. Let's give it a try. You can start whenever you're ready.
Oh, hi.
Hi there. Are you enjoying the open house?
Yeah, this is the first open house I've ever had in the United States. I came to the US about 6 months ago.
Welcome. It's great that you're here. How are you finding everything so far?
Yeah, do you mean at the school or in the United States?
Both, actually. How are you adjusting to life in the US, and how do you feel about the school?
Oh, okay. Actually, can you repeat that? I'm still learning English, so my English is a work in progress. I'm a little embarrassed to say, so could you repeat that again?
Of course. No need to be embarrassed. I said, how are you adjusting to life in the US, and how do you feel about the school?
Yeah, I think I'm enjoying the US. I think they said there's a honeymoon period, so it was very exciting in the first month, but now I'm feeling a little more comfortable. And at the school, yeah, my children feel very comfortable here. How about your children? Have you lived here your whole life, or?
That's great to hear. Adjusting does take time. My kids have been at this school for a couple of years now, and we've lived here for quite a while. It's a wonderful community. If you ever need any tips or help, feel free to ask.
I'm sorry, what did you say, tip? I thought tip, that's like at a restaurant, right? What did you mean? I'm sorry.
No problem. By tips, I meant advice or helpful suggestions. If you need any advice or help, feel free to ask.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, okay, I understand. Yeah, maybe I will. Oh, my children are calling me. I think they want to show me something. But yeah, it was nice to meet you. I'll see you again.
It was nice meeting you too. Enjoy the rest of the open house. See you around.
Hey, by the way, are you single?
I'm here to help with any questions or topics you want to discuss. If there's something specific you'd like to know, feel free to ask.
Okay. All right, I asked a funny question at the end. But I guess it didn't want to answer that "Are you single?" question. Oh, look at that. It generated a transcript. Okay. And of course, what I can do is I can also replay that audio, right?
Hey there. What's on your mind today?
Okay.
Yes, I got that. It's great that you're working on your English skills. What kind of help are you looking for?
And of course, I can copy all this and then I can put it on a Google Doc if I want to. So I think that went a little bit long, but I hope that was interesting too. And now I've copied that transcript. So let's go back to the ChatGPT. Voice chat ended, okay. So I can go back here and I can still, can I do audio? No, I'm sorry. Okay, so I can't put audio for this text here, but that's okay. That's still a lot of great stuff. I think I did that. Yeah, conversations, extract grammar, other phrasal verbs, and idiom alternatives. Okay, I think this should be the last thing because I am approaching 30 minutes, I think. I'm trying to set a limit about 30 minutes for each episode. I'm going to go back to my Japan conversation thread. And okay, so I'm at the baseball game and somebody's talking to me too much and I want to focus on the game, right? If someone is talking to me and I want to politely show that I'm trying to focus, what can I say? Please give me five phrases. Okay. Oh, okay, I like this one. I don't want to miss this part. Let's catch up later, okay? Ooh, I don't want to miss this part. I really like that one.
Here are five polite phrases you can use to gently signal that you're focusing on something else while still being friendly and respectful. One, this is such an exciting moment.
Okay, anyway, you get the idea. So I don't want to miss this part. I like that. I do use that. I'd love to talk more. Yeah, that's, I don't know. See, the thing is, these are good phrases, but I feel like in a real conversation, it might feel a little bit too dismissive again. So let me ask the question here. Honestly, I feel that these are still a bit dismissive. What strategies can I use to show that I'm not going to continue the conversation while still being polite and respectful? Yeah, I feel like ChatGPT is not really giving me something here. Okay, so redirect focus to the task or event. I like that one. So this isn't even a phrase necessarily, it's a strategy. Which is great because a lot of times as learners, we always want to learn new vocabulary, right? But sometimes it's not new vocabulary, it's your overall strategy in the conversation. So redirecting focus. Hey, what a play. Did you see that? Oh, they're about to do something. Hey, I got to catch this. Oh, I always get so caught up in watching them play. Yeah, so I think that's cool. I like this one too. Number four says engage momentarily and then naturally pause. So sometimes just pausing a little bit can show that you're not really going to continue the conversation. Hopefully the other person can pick up on that. Some people don't. So engage lightly, then let the conversation fade naturally. Okay, so a short pause and then turn back to the game. Let's see here. Yeah, so anyway, a lot of strategies, not just vocabulary, but things that you can do, your body, your attention, and so on. Number six says, even when setting boundaries, the tone of your voice matters. A light, pleasant tone can make even a short response feel positive and respectful. So they do give one example here. So the parent says, your kid's team is doing great. And you say, oh, they really are. Oh, hold on. I don't want to miss this play. Then you smile and lean forward to watch. The parent says, how often do you come to these games? Most weeks, it's such a joy to watch. Then you smile warmly and then focus back on the field. By combining these strategies, you maintain politeness and friendliness while subtly but firmly signaling your focus. Most people will pick up on these cues without feeling dismissed. Okay, I'm going to add one more thing. What if the person keeps talking to me? Okay, so again, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. Let's see, which one of these do I like? Use humor or a lighthearted comment. Okay, anyway, there's a lot of suggestions here. Honestly, it's okay to just give super short answers and then just pause and then keep your attention on the game. I'm going to add one more thing here. What if I stood up and said, I'm going to go get a better look and then come back 5 minutes later? Oop, I made a mistake there. 5 minutes later. Okay. So what if I stood up and said, I'm going to get a better look and then come back 5 minutes later? So again, it's not only about what you say, it's also what you do. That's important because there's also cultural differences as well. So ChatGPT says, okay, when you stand up, use a friendly tone and smile when you say it. I'm going to go get a better look. Be right back. I think I can see better from over there. Excuse me for a few minutes. I like that one. Excuse me for a few minutes. Honestly, sometimes I'll just take a bathroom break, even if I don't need to go to the toilet. If somebody's talking too much, I'll just say, oh, I got to go to the toilet, restroom, and then I'll just, you know, not go. Or I'll just say, I need to get up and stretch for, I don't know. So I think sometimes just leaving, but doing so politely with an excuse can help as well. If they're still nearby when you come back, you can rejoin casually, but also stay focused on the game. Yeah, anyway, so there's a lot of other things too. Hopefully they'll get the idea that you're not really interested in the conversation. So anyway, spend a lot of time on that, but I guess what I wanted to show you was that when you're learning a language, you're not just trying to learn vocabulary, right? You're learning how to communicate, how to avoid small talk, how to end small talk, how to start small talk, how to maintain small talk, how to do it with a stranger, how to do it with a neighbor, how to do it on an airplane, how to do it with another parent at a sports event for your kid's high school. How to do it with a coworker who you're going to see every day. How to do it with your boss who is in a slightly higher position than you, right? So it's not just about these generic vocabulary and phrases, right? You have to remember you're using English or any language in very specific situations. And the words you use and the way you speak and what you do, your communication strategies and your techniques and all that stuff, it's going to change a lot. What I want you to think of ChatGPT is maybe like an advisor, a coach. You want to ask it a lot of questions. You want to be very specific with the different situations. It's almost like you're preparing for these things. So that's one way that I would use it. I did want to mention grammar. That was the last point. It's a small point. I feel like we're ending on kind of a whimper here, but that's okay. Let's see here. Oh, okay. So I'm going to take this phrase. It says, I think my kid would be upset if I wasn't paying attention right now. Okay, so that's a joke. So I'm going to say, I'm going to copy that into the text box. I think my kid would be upset if I wasn't paying attention right now. Please explain the grammar in this sentence. I can't understand it well. I don't even have to say that. I'll just say, please explain the grammar in this sentence. Okay. Sometimes ChatGPT is going to give you something and you actually may not quite understand what it means, especially with grammar. Aha, see, now I'm learning. ChatGPT is going to break down the grammar of that sentence. Subject and verb, I think. Okay. Embedded clause, my kid would be upset if I wasn't paying attention right now. So this is a conditional or hypothetical clause embedded as the object of think. Let's analyze it in detail. So main clause of the embedded sentence, my kid would be upset. Subject, my kid. Auxiliary verb, would. Hypothetical situation, main verb, be upset. Conditional clause, this is the if. If introduces a condition. Subject, I. Verb phrase, wasn't paying attention. So it's breaking this grammar down of this one sentence. And then it gives another explanation, hypothetical nature. I'm not going to go into that. And then it says right now, meaning immediacy to the statement. And then again, so there's a full breakdown. Wow. I just took that simple phrase and I turned it into a grammar lesson or a grammar explanation. Let's do one more thing. That's a little hard to understand through text only. Could you also visually represent that explanation? Okay. And I promise this will be the last thing because I gotta eat dinner. Okay, this is taking a while because I think I asked for a visual. Ooh, it did. Okay, that's great. So it did create a visual representation of that. I know you can't see it if you're only listening as a podcast, but basically it created, it put the sentence in three different parts, I think, is the first part, and that's at the top of the image. Then in the middle of the image is my kid would be upset. And then the final line in the image is if I wasn't paying attention right now. That's not exactly what I was looking for, but that might help some people. Okay, so I think I'm going to stop it there. That's been over 30 minutes. These are just my suggestions for using ChatGPT as a language learner. I won't do this preparing for my trip to Japan, A, because my Japanese is pretty good already. Mostly I just wanted to review a few things. But for you as an English learner, definitely explore. This is what you're doing. You're just exploring different ways to use ChatGPT. Be creative with it. And I guess my final thing that I mentioned earlier, but I want to mention it one more time. I really want to emphasize this is, again, remember, you're using English as a tool for communication. Okay, you're not studying linguistics, all right? You're using English as a tool for communication. You're communicating with people. Be very specific with your situations. Be very specific about the context. Be very specific of what you want to do in these conversations. I'm focused mostly on conversations here, but for anything, okay? Use the role play option if you can. Just speak to ChatGPT, listen to ChatGPT, and just find different ways to use it for your language learning, okay? Don't limit yourself to the traditional way of, I'm just going to get a translation of a word. And again, going back to translation is make sure the context is very specific. How do I use this word? When do I use this word? And so on. I'm going to stop it there, though, okay? As usual, though, if you do have any questions or if you have any recommendations for future episode topics, just leave a comment in the comment section or a question. Bye.